looked at, and we talked about them being a like the first deacons. This week, the Holy Spirit of God and His Word, as He moved upon the authors, penned just about one particular of these men, and Stephen. Stephen is a great Bible character. I think you'll enjoy this morning's message. It's entitled "Full of Faith." Full of faith. The Bible draws our attention to just one specific, and I told you last week, when you look at those different seven names, maybe one or two are found. Stephen we know a little bit more about. Philip we know a little bit about. The other five are people who served and who dedicated their lives to the Lord, but are not known. And it's not about in our service for God being well known. It's not about getting recognition. It's about serving. And remember, the job that they were given was a job of servitude. They were going to help serve the widow's tables to make sure everything was done properly. And this man may have started off with what some people would consider a small position. Let me remind you, there is no small positions with God. Whatever it is that God gives you to do is the best thing you can do with your life. There is nothing better that you can do with your life than what God's called you to do. But we see how God honors this man and exalts this man to a spot to where we see God uses him in a mighty way. Stephen also is known for being the first martyr. We will learn a little bit more about that next week. But here, let's look here in Acts chapter number 6. We're going to read verses 8 through 15 as we look at the sermon, Full of Faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogues, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask for God's help this morning. And as we pray, just ask the Lord to speak to your heart through the preaching and teaching of his word today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again just because we understand our need. Lord, if this is a sermon from me, Lord, it's not going to do any good. Lord, we need your power. We need your spirit. We need your influence here. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, also help us to apply the things that we hear. And Lord, help them to take root in our heart. Help us to find a spot where it's good ground. Lord, ones that can stay. And Lord, ones we can learn from. And Lord, ones that we can produce fruit with. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you go back to verse number 5, and it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Back, you come back down to verse number 8, you get a Stephen full of faith. Guess give you a little commentary on the passages of Scripture of what's going on here, and then we'll get right into our main points. Stephen is chosen here, and it says he's full of faith and of power, and you see it says he did great wonders and miracles among the people. We've learned in the past, we even mentioned it last week, these are sign gifts. These are gifts that mostly we see the apostles do. This is the first time we have it recorded that is one of the disciples in the early church that's doing this. And can you imagine how much this probably ticked off the religious leaders? I mean, they had to watch the apostles do it. They had to watch Peter and James heal that lame man. They had to hear the stories how Peter walked down the road and as a shadow fell on the people got healed. And now, not just one of the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, now one of their deacons, one of the other church leaders, had the ability to do signs and wonders. And you say, well, why would he need to do that where the other men didn't? Well, you're going to see here, Stephen has an interesting ministry. It says, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines," and it goes on to those other names. See, what those were, we learned a little bit about Hellenistic Jews last week. They were the Jews that were dispersed out, and they never came back to Jerusalem. But when it was feast time and when it's Passover time, they would come back and worship. And when they came back and worship, they would actually have their own synagogues. Last week we looked at those seven names, and we said that probably those seven names were all Hellenistic type Jews, maybe even one that wasn't a Jew at all that came from Caesarea. And here we see in the story that Stephen is going into these synagogues and he is preaching and teaching the word. This is not where probably Peter would have gone. This is not where the other Jews had stayed, gone. Stephen had a specific ministry here. He would have gone to maybe the synagogues he had gone to before in the past, and he would begin to teach and preach the word. And if Peter's not there and the other apostles are not there, he would use these sign gifts to be able to demonstrate that what he... And seeing what happens here, they get upset about this. And as they get upset about it, this word suborn means that they actually hired people to do something that was mischievous, something that was wicked, to bring a false report against the men. And what you see here in verse number 11, they hired people and they began talking about Stephen, making up lies about him. First, you see the blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And one thing that Stephen has a good grasp on is the fact that things are changing from the Mosaic law, Jesus Christ fulfilling that covenant, and they stirred up the people. So they went around and they stirred up the people. It's just like what happened with Jesus is happening once again. And the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. Once again, what's the accusation here? The same accusation they brought against Jesus Christ. In verse number 14, they talk about how this Jesus of Nazareth destroyed this place, and they lied about him. They were trying to find a spot that they could find everyone to gather around and say that this man deserves to die. And then while they're there and they're making all these false accusations, while all this trial is going on, they're steadfastly, he says that they're steadfastly looking at him. And it says that what they see, do they see horror? Do they see hatred? No, they see heaven. They see somebody that looks like an angel. And can you imagine that they're there with their blasphemous words, they're making up these lies, and these are men that have hired these, some of them already know, and they're all looking at him, and they're amazed because of the spirit he had, or the facial expression he had, the fact that he was like in the presence of God, and God was shining through him and reflecting off of him, and they said it was like one of an angel. I don't know about you, but if I was there and I was the one that was making up the lies, I would be a little nervous if I sat there and saw that man acting like that. Let's get into the sermon here. Let's first of all see the witness of Stephen. The witness of Stephen. Is my mic not working, Mr. Greger? Okay, that's fine. I'll make sure I stay close by then. The witness of Stephen. First thing you see here, he was full of faith. Now, you say, well, aren't we all full of faith? Well, no, see, I think there's different levels of faith here. He was full of faith. Stephen had a persuasion of the Lord. His life was changed because of his faith. The things he did because he did have faith. You look in verse number 5, it said that they had chose Stephen, a man full of faith. In verse number 8, we see this testimony and this result again, a man full of faith. And you see, Stephen full of what? He's full of faith. Now, we need to talk about this so we can understand what it means to be full of faith. I want us to all get this because this is probably one of my favorite parts of the message. Full of faith comes from the word pleros, the verb pler, which means fill up. Means that to be filled up. Stephen here is filled up with faith. And I think this is important to understand that we can be full of things. The Bible talks about different people who were full of rage. People who were full of sorrow, people who were full of joy, people who were full of love, full of madness, full of anger. And what it means is that these things that they were filled with were controlled at that moment by the thing that they were filled with.
In a life, there is peacefulness, there is calm. On the other end of the scale, there is wrath, and there's anger, and there's violence. Most of us have a balance here. Most of us would say, you know what, sometimes I might get irritated, but other times I have peace. You know what, let's find a happy medium. Now, the difference about Stephen here is that he is filled with faith. It's not, you know, I'm filled with faith over here, and I'm filled with a little bit of doubt. That's where most Christians would find the happy medium. Some people would say the person is filled with heaviness. That means he's totally controlled by his sorrow. I think there's a balance in every man in this scale from believing in God and faith and doubt. And mostly, we do a little of this, we believe a little bit of this, and we believe a little bit of that. But the thing about Stephen that was different is his faith dominated him. He was filled up with faith. He believed, and as he believed in God, he was dominated by that faith. There wasn't any mixture in here. He just believed in God. And specifically, when he believed in God, you look in Acts chapter number 7, he believed that God was in control of history. He begins to preach a sermon. And as he preaches a sermon, he begins to go all the way back from Abraham and even farther back with Moses. And he goes from Abraham to Moses to Joseph. And he shows how God was in control of all history and how God brought Jesus Christ through this line and how he believed. He was full of faith. He believed that we are just part of God's plan. We are part of what God's trying to do. And he wasn't worried. He wasn't 10% worry, 90% faith. He wasn't 20% doubt, 80% faith. He just said, I am here and I am here to do God's will. And I am just filled up with faith. And whatever God brings my way, whatever God intends for me, whatever God shall happen in my life, I am going to be full of faith and I am just going to believe and I'm going to just keep on living the way that God wants me to do. Now, many Christians who have faith, but they're not full of faith. They're not full of faith, but sometimes they have doubt. You know, what are you this morning? Are you 60 or 40? Maybe 70, 30, 80, 20? The Bible talks about faith. He talks about those who believe. Remember the man who said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let's do a little test here. If you're a Christian here this morning, you know what you have done? You have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you believe, probably full of faith, with your soul. Your soul is going to heaven. Most of us would not question that. Praise the Lord. We get to see him someday. We get to spend eternity in heaven. We've made that decision. We've got that settled. We're on our way to heaven. My soul is in good hands with God. I believe that, and I'm full of faith. So we'll say that's a portion of it. Okay, now, that's not just all of it, is it? How about our bodies? What do we do with our bodies? Now, our soul, because we cannot do anything with our soul, we put that in Jesus Christ's hands. But what about our bodies? Do we believe and trust in him with our bodies? Do we worry about our headaches? Do we worry about our stomach aches? Do we worry about whether or not we get enough food? Do we worry about what about this surgery? And what about this cancer? And what about this? And what about that? Now, Stephen was a man full of faith. He had given not only his soul, but he had given his body over to God. We also see Stephen was a man full of faith. He had given over his emotions to God. Now, what are you talking about? You know what? There is people that are full of envy and full of jealousy and full of wrath and full of hatred. But there's Christians today that are full of worry and full of anxiety and full of maybe bitterness and full of envy. You know, what about your emotions? So you understand there's a spot in our life where Stephen here is a little bit different. He's a man that's full of faith. He's 100% faith, 0% doubt. What about us? There are limitations. There are certain things that we say, yes, I believe and I trust in God 100%. I know that God's going to save me and take me to heaven. Praise the Lord. But what about the other areas? Do we give him all of ourselves? See, that's what they're saying about Stephen here. That word of full of faith is something that is just can speak to our heart and can be powerful if we will learn that I just do not want to be a portion of faith. I want to be full of faith. You see, the next thing, not only is it about being full of faith, because it's important that a church that is alive, a church that is arising up and building, a church that is doing something for God means that it has members that are individually full of faith. See, Stephen was full of faith, but not just full of faith. You see, the result of being full of faith, he is full of power. You say, power, what do you mean? Well, you think about it in verse number 5, it says he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So because of the fact that he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, we see what the result is. He was filled with power. And the Bible says that we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. He had the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You will be filled with the Spirit of God and you will be powerful is what he's saying. Even God himself refers to in his word. He says, he answered and spake unto me saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We're going to accomplish something for God. It's not going to be by our might. It's not going to be by our spirit. It's going to be by God's power and God's spirit. And Stephen here, he has this opportunity. He is living for God. He's full of faith. And God allows him to rise up from serving the widow's tables to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and filled with power to be able to take on these that oppose him. Another thing I want you to see is he's filled with the word. You go back here and you see here that he says in verse number 8, it says full of faith and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. But in verses 9 and verse number 10, it begins to talk about how he was disputing, how he was having a debate, and how he knew the word of God. Acts chapter number 7, I'm not sure if we're going to go through the whole entire message, but it's a great sermon. I would encourage you to read it. You see, Stephen knows his Bible. He knows it frontwards and he knows it backwards. And he is able to use, and the Holy Spirit is able to use this in him to be able to preach a great message. You say, well, he got killed in the end. Well, we've talked about this before. Who's standing there? Who's listening to this message? I believe Saul of Tarsus is there, I believe Saul of Tarsus was burned in his mind, the face of Stephen, looking as an angel as he's there. And you see, he's consenting to the death of Stephen. It doesn't say he actually was one of the ones that killed Stephen. He says he's consenting to the death of Stephen, and he's there and he's watching it. And until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, I think this is speaking to his heart and convicting to his heart the sermon that he heard Stephen preach. He's filled with the word. And you get to the spot, and it says in verse number 10, our memory verse for the week, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He said, why would you choose that as a verse? I wanted to show you the potential we have. If we are a people that are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit of God, you know what the potential we have? We can go and we can teach and we can go and talk and we can go over and witness to people. They may reject, but they're not going to be able to resist us. They're going to know the truth and they're going to know what they've heard and they're going to be able to be filled with power. Stephen had a view of the church and Christian worship that surpassed many other at this day and time. He understood. He is looking forward to the church age as he looked and preached about history and talked about how everything was fulfilled. But we see here, Stephen knows his Bible. Let me encourage you, know your Bible. Get into the Word of God. It's what changes your life. The second thing, I don't only want you to see that Stephen, that the witness of Stephen, but I want you to see the warring against Stephen. The warring against Stephen. What happens? There's a man full of the Spirit of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God. What's going to happen? The devil's going to attack you. You see, every time a man stands up to speak the truth of God and his power, he will face spiritual opposition. We go to Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It talks about fighting. It talks about wrestling. It talks about standing. It talks about it being a war. That's what our Christian life is about. Stephen here is warring. He is warring against the devil. And remember that Satan has done everything he can to try to stop this early church. He tries to bring in persecution first. It didn't work. He then brings Ananias and Sapphira and tries to corrupt the church through sin. It didn't work. Then last week we saw how he tried to bring dissension among the members about the disputing of the widow's tables. It didn't work. And here, Stephen is going to face the first trick again, and this is something that we will always face as we try to preach and teach the Word of God. It'd be persecution. You know what? It doesn't work. Stephen goes into these synagogues, and he's preaching and teaching in places where he probably used to worship this false religion, in a sense. And here, they're not able to dispute against them. So what do? They hire false witnesses. And this is where it happens. If you cannot win the debate, what do you try to do? You slander them. He said, where does that happen? Well, go watch your political debates. Oh, yeah. If they're losing, they can't resist them. And when they're disputing and they're having an honest debate and they, instead of admitting they're wrong, you know what they do? They slander the other person. That's pretty much what they're doing here. As Stephen was there and he was preaching and teaching the word in the synagogues, you know what? Nobody could resist him. Nobody could dispute him. He was a shining light for Jesus Christ. And no one could understand. No one could bring up an argument that he couldn't win. And they says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to slander him. We're going to put him to death. Same thing that happened with Jesus. Didn't they go to Jesus and try to ask him questions to trick him? And didn't they try to say, what about this and what about that? They sent the Sadducees. They sent the Pharisees. They sent the scribes. No one could trick him up. So you saying Stephen is just as important as Jesus? No, what I'm saying is that a life that is full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus Christ can live his life through you and that he can actually come and be able to use you and be filled with the Spirit of God and his Spirit. And you can also have the authority and the power that Jesus spoke with. Now, they hired informants. They slandered this man. They defamed his character and they took action. It says how they stirred up the people. Now remember, these are supposed to be religious leaders today. These are people that were in the synagogues. And they went around and they stirred up people. They said, okay, what's going to make the people upset? What's going to make the elders upset? What's going to make the scribes upset? Let's say he's saying blasphemous things about Moses. Let's say he's talking about the temple, because those things were precious to them. That was what their worship was based on. That was what they were looking to. They still couldn't handle Stephen. They still couldn't resist him. A spirit-controlled mind is no match. And the spirit-controlled mind is more than a match for a conglomerate of minds. These wise people had no chance because Stephen was spirit-filled. They couldn't handle him, so they decided to do one other thing. They hired people. This word suborn talks is a strange word. It talks about how they hire false witnesses. They hired perjurers. They paid them off to make lies about Stephen. You say, that's horrible. It is. That's what people will do to keep the truth from being told. That's what Satan will do to cause even men who say they live for God and live according to a law to go out and wickedly pay people to tell lies. There's nothing that the devil will not try to stop the preaching and teaching of God's word. I told you that part of full of faith is something I really enjoyed. But here's the second part that I even enjoyed a little bit more. It's the wonder of Stephen. The wonder of Stephen. And what do you mean? Don't stop here. I know it's point number three. I know you got your outline up there. I know that some people are saying, oh, good, he's almost done. I don't got to listen to the rest of the way. This is really cool. Don't turn your brain off just yet. This is very important. This is terrific here. Stephen is being lied about. Stephen is being called a blasphemer. And he sits there with a holy face. Amen. He is. Can you imagine the rebuke? Can you imagine what they must be saying to themselves? There's something wrong with this. This man has the face of an angel. The holy angel of God is manifesting in the glow of God as he receives from being in the presence of God. He is God's presence, in a sense, is on his face. Man. He has grace under pressure. He has grace under pressure. You know, it's amazing how he can sit there and listen to all this. To say that you're being blasphemous to the things that you love the most and to the God you love the most. If you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It says, and great grace was upon them all. It says that, talking about all the disciples, that there was grace, great grace upon them. The fullness of grace that Stephen exhibited was an indication that he was a Christ-like man. He sat. Remember how Jesus sat there as they questioned him, as they mocked him, as they hit him. He sat quietly. But a man full of faith and of the Spirit will respond with grace, even when those are attacking us. You go to the Sermon on the Mount and you see what we're supposed to do when those people, they abuse us, when they persecute us. What does it say? We're supposed to act like this. Next thing I want you to see is, not only did he have grace under pressure, he had the face of an angel. I like this thought. When they were looking at him, they were trying to make him mad. They were trying to make him angry. They were trying to pit him. They were trying to poke at him. You know, just like they did to Jesus. And Jesus stayed quiet. And you see that they're looking at him, and they're steadfastly looking at him. Why are they steadfastly looking at him? I mean, are they hoping he's going to break, right? They're hoping he's going to say something wrong, do something wrong, something they can make an accusation about him. And what do they see? They see heaven. They don't see hatred. They don't see horror. They don't see anybody that is bitter. No, what do they see? They see heaven in him. Christian, this is what I want you to get. And this is, I think, one of the more important things here. I know most of us here would profess to be saved. I think that some of us are lacking in that full of faith part. Some of us have given our souls over to Jesus Christ, but, you know, our bodies, our pocketbooks, our emotions, our all those other things, we like to keep percentages of those. But we come to the spot is that there is a world that is looking at us. This council is steadfastly looking at Stephen for a reason. What are they seeing? They are going to see a person who has no regrets. They're seeing a person that is full of faith and full of the Spirit of God. He is extending grace to them. He is sitting there and he is listening to all these things happen. I wonder what people say when they say things about us. I wonder what people see when people try to attack us. You know, Stephen here, he's getting ready to preach a message in chapter number 7. If they give him a chance. In verse number 1, then said the high priest, are these things so? Stephen doesn't even worry about defending himself. Stephen doesn't even worry saying, you know, this is what I was trying to say. No. Stephen gets back and he gets rares back and he begins to preach. He knows sitting here is a bunch of men who are lost and on their way to hell. He knows that these people do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the greatest need they have in their life is for them to see someone who loves them and someone who will stand and will preach and teach the Word of God and show them who Jesus Christ truly was. And Stephen here doesn't get mad. He doesn't get upset. What does he do? He teaches and preaches the Word of God from his heart. They know these are false accusations. They know that they've hired these men. They know that they've stirred up the people. And I tell you, he's getting ready to preach a great message. But these men need to see someone who has grace under pressure first. They need to see the messenger was right before they could ever be willing to hear the message. And I want to encourage you in your lives, you're going to have people that will go around and try to poke at you and that will try to prod you and that will try to get you stirred up and that will try to get you worked up and that will try to get you angry and will try to do whatever they can to try to get you to lose your testimony so they can point at you and say, if you're a Christian, I don't want anything to be like you. But you see Stephen here, a man that's full of faith. He knows when someone's going to lie about him. You know what? All I am, I'm just here. I'm just God's servant. I'm just God's vessel. I'm just walking through the door that God opened up for me. And if that's what they're going to say about me, that's what they're going to say about me. If they're going to throw stones at me, you know what I'm going to say? Father, forgive them. If they're going to hire people to make up lies about me, to cause people to get so angry and so get mad with me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run away. No. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to preach the Word of God to them. Maybe hoping one of them will get saved. And you say, well, who got saved? Who's sitting in this audience is Saul. And I think Saul, there's no way that Saul could watch this happen. And then just months later, Saul received Christ and that not impact his life. We must understand. We live in a day and age that we need to have a witness of faith. I know some of us struggle with that. But we need to have a wonder of a sweet spirit. To me, for too long, we've had the wrong type of spirit. For too long, we've shown people things that they should not see in a Christian. They don't see Christ. And they need to see Christ in us. They're looking at them and they're saying, that's the same way that Jesus acted. Same counsel, just months later. They're looking at him and they're seeing and they're steadfastly looking. I mean, you know, you read between the lines, but I can imagine that he is a follower of Jesus and they already accused Peter and John and the other disciples. They had spent time with Jesus and they're steadfastly looking at him and saying, yep, that's one of his. He did the exact same thing. We couldn't get him upset. We couldn't get him worked up. He just loved us. We had nothing that was really truthfully wrong that we could blame him with. Christian, I know that our relationships are hard sometimes. I know that they are difficult. I know that sometimes we live with people that are just nearly impossible. And it is impossible on the fleshly side to stay Christ-like around them. But the Bible shows us here an example of a man that was full of faith, and he was full of the power of God, and how he was able to live his life still Christ-like, despite all the people that were trying to hurt him. Christian, this is what the world needs to see. They're looking at you. They want to see what's going on. They want to see how much they can get a row of you and riled up in you, and you can get mad and all. No. They need to steadfastly look at us, because the world, if we say we're living for God and we say we're going to live by biblical principles and we say we're going to be faithful and we say we're going to do these things, the world is going to look at you. Your mate's going to look at you. Your parents and your children and grandchildren and your neighbors, they're all going to look at you. What are they going to see? Do you have that testimony? Person full of faith. Stephen, as you look through this message, he said, you can see how he went through this message in chapter 7. I believe God was in all of this. And all I am doing is playing my part in eternity's sake. All I'm doing is just what God's asked me to do. They can bring whatever they want to me, and I'll keep on doing it. Say, Pastor, how can a person do that? He's full of faith. He doesn't have certain things. Okay, I believe here, but over here I want this part. No. He's full of faith. He's full of the Spirit. This morning, two things. Number one, are you full of faith? Because if you're full of faith, you're going to be able to do these things. And I know what some of you are thinking. I wish I could stand up to my accusers like this. I wish I could act like this. I wish I could turn the other cheek. I wish that I could have this type of testimony. I wish that people could see Christ in me and let it change their lives. It's being full of faith. It's by looking at our lives and saying, you know what? I've kept this portion of my life. I worry too much. I've kept this portion of my giving, or this portion of my talents, or this pet sin over here. I want to be full of faith. I want to give it all over to Him. That way, when the world looks at me, they'll see Christ. That's the second thing. What does the world see when they look at you? They see a person who's saved? Great. They see a person who is full of faith? That's even better. This morning, a man full of faith. You say, Pastor, he's Stephen. He's extraordinary. You know where he started at? He started waiting those tables. And you know who we will, when we honor God with what we have, God will honor us. It doesn't mean that we're going to be taken to a lofty position like Stephen had, a deacon in the first century church, able to dispute with all those lawyers and doctors. But He will give you exactly what He wants you to do. Say, I don't know what to say. Be full of faith and let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you and teach you. This is where Stephen is here talking. And even no matter how much of the Bible Stephen knew, being full of the Spirit of God, that's what made it impossible for them to dispute. The Holy Spirit of God can give you the word to say at the right moment, at the right time. If you're full of faith and full of His power and strength, what does the world see in you? I want the world to see Christ in me. I know that sometimes people poke and prod. Sometimes people do things to get a rise out of me. And am I perfect? No. Do I react in the wrong way? I have a very, very smart mouth. I have to really fight it back. You say, Pastor, you spend enough time with me. I am very quick-witted. I love being sarcastic. It's natural. It's normal. It's fleshly. You know what? And I have to fight against that, because that's not the way Christ is going to respond. I want people to see Christ in me. That's what I desire. How's that going to happen? It's by being full of faith, by saying, I don't want what I want. This is what God wants. I'm just part of what He's trying to do in this world today, and I want to do my part. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.